Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies, where we take a good look at everything guitar, and sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important, so we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. It's our second show, and it's a great show. We have I'm very happy to have this guest on tonight. Just to let everybody know, too, quick couple of messages. Check out the WreckingCrewFilm.com if you get a chance. If you haven't gotten your disc of the Wrecking Crew film, it's on Blu-ray and DVD. And I think, if I'm correct, if you still use the code word the flow, you still get 20% off. So it's a great film. I recommend that you take a listen, and you'll love it. It's great. There's just all sorts of cool interviews in there and stuff. So anyway, it's good to be back. Tonight's guest is Paul Richards, and he's got an interesting this is going to be a really interesting show. There's a lot of different things that he's doing with the California Guitar Trio, and their website is www.cgtrio.com. He's interesting background, and we're going to get a little bit in there, because he studied under Robert Fripp, who's I've always been a big fan of King Crimson and stuff. But Robert Fripp developed a course in guitar craft where he uses a different tuning, and basically all the members of the California Guitar Trio studied at one point with Robert Fripp, and that's how they met. And they all also played with Fripp and toured with him as Fripp's League of Crafty Guitarists, which is very cool. I've listened to that. It's very interesting. Now, before I bring him on, I'm going to play you a clip from – it's the title clip from their Andromeda album, Andromeda, and just give you an idea of the kind of stuff they're doing, because they're really into counterpoint. They're really into doing – I mean – this is a perfect example of tones, using different tones out of guitars. And just take a listen, and we'll start talking about this. We'll be right back. welcome, Paul, to the show. It's a privilege to have you here tonight.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
When I cut pieces on the show, they're usually pretty short. And I was explaining to Paul before the show is the way the things develop. And I wanted to show, especially in this clip, this is the longest clip I have. It's over 2 minutes. And basically, you can't cut it because you got to see where they're going with the whole thing. But everything that was done on that clip is guitar. Everything's guitar. You're using the VG system.
Yes, and everything is actually acoustic guitar. And we're making all those sounds, even the sounds that sound like electric guitar, that's actually acoustic guitar run through various effects pedals. One of the main things you're hearing on there is acoustic guitar through a Roland VG-88 and also VG-99 systems.
Well, that distortion thing that you have in there, is that the VG system or
yes.
is that an actual?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so. that's the VG, Roland VG-88.
And then there's it's hard to describe that sound. It's a very mellow, like drone in the background.
That's actually, I'm playing that particular part, and that's also the Roland, the acoustic guitar through the Roland VG-88.
And what acoustic guitar were you using on that?
Let's see. I think I was already playing the Breedlove guitars back when we recorded this album. So that's the Breedlove guitar.
Oh, okay. And he has a Breedlove in studio. I'm going to snap a few pictures of it and show it to you. And we'll get to that in a minute. The tone of these guitars are just killer. Let's go back a little bit to the beginning of it, how you guys all met. Now, you all met taking classes for Robert Fripp. So go ahead and start from there.
Right. Okay. Well, Robert Fripp started teaching these guitar craft courses back in the mid-80s. And at the time, I was studying music at the University of Utah, and I lived in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. And I was studying also privately with a guy named Don Ayers. Mm-hmm. And Don read about these Robert Fripp guitar craft courses, and he went on one of the very first ones. And when he came back, it's a week-long course that's held near Washington, D.C. area at a retreat center. And he came back and he said, "You need to go." And I took his advice. And a few months later, I went on my first guitar craft course. I think it was March of 1986. And it changed my life. It was such an extraordinary experience. His way of teaching and his technique and his just the whole vibe of the guitar craft courses, I knew I was in the right place. And so after that 1 week-long course, at the end of that course, Robert asked me if I could come back in the next month. They were doing another course that was happening, and he invited me to come back again. And I went. That course was also at the same place near Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And that was a 2 week-long course. And during that course, it just really felt like I was in the right place and doing the right thing. And at that course, Robert invited me to go to England. He had just purchased a house in the English countryside in a place called Cranbourne, Dorset, England. Mm-hmm. And Robert invited a number of the students to come to England to study for longer, extended periods of time. So in 1987, I went to England, and I was in England at Robert Fripp's house for almost a year and a half. And that's during the time period when I met Bert and Hideo, that I play with in the California Guitar Trio. And so they had also attended one of the 1 week-long introductory courses and were invited to come to England. And in England, that's where we were playing with the League of Crafty Guitarists, and we did some touring as the League of Crafty Guitarists with Robert. You know, that was part of his way of teaching us. He would book a tour, and we would learn this music that he composed and also wrote a lot of our own music. Mm-hmm. It was all done on acoustic guitar, and it was just an extraordinary experience. You know, we got to play music with Robert Fripp on almost a daily basis. We had private lessons with him. We played together as a group. It was just an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember reading about he would, back in the days with King Crimson, he was talking about, and I think it was around the time Lark's Tongue came out, which to me was a very pivotal album.
Yeah.
Because he, a lot of stuff that was on there influenced so many different genres of music, even though that was a progressive rock type of album. And the thing that was interesting, he was talking about picking, you know, normally we very, we, you know, we pick down, up, down, up, down strokes, and you can hear it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Yes.
And he would do things where you would start with the upstroke, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da,
yes.
And he would do it not on one, so he would, like, you know, pick a spot, and it just, it kind of confused where one was, which was great.
Cause right.
He was, and even, you could hear in... Even earlier than that, you could hear the counterpoint. I mean, he used a lot of musicians that improvised, but still he was doing a lot of stuff. And I hear that in your music.
Yes.
The counterpoint is just incredible because you guys are using a lot of rhythms and you're using a lot of – you're playing against each other in a way that just really makes it very interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but he was – now, one of the things that you had mentioned – well, kind of in a nutshell, if you could describe his guitar craft, what he was... I know he used a special tuning,
right.
But what else did that entail?
So the tuning is part of it, and we can talk more about that in a moment. But the guitar craft courses, it's hard to, in just a short amount of time to really explain what it's all about. But a big thing that I took away from it was really learning to play together as a group. We almost... Everything that we did was practiced together, and mm-hmm. we would sit in a big circle at this place where the first guitar craft courses were held. It was the main building where the course was held was an old mansion built in 1820 by George Washington's nephew, Bushrod Washington. And in this house was a big ballroom with a big wooden floor. And we would set the chairs up in a circle, and we'd have 30 or 40 or more guitar players all sitting in a big circle with Robert Fripp leading us and directing us and teaching us. And one of the things that Robert Fripp taught us was something called circulation, mm-hmm. which is really an amazing exercise in learning to listen to each other. And circulation was presented by... Robert would give the instruction. He would say, play one note and pass your note to the person to your right. And in turn, each person would play a note, and the note would go around the circle, mm-hmm. creating a melody as each player played a note. So instead of just one person playing a melody, the whole group was playing the melody together, kind of like the wave in a sports arena, mm-hmm. a similar type of effect where you're just one person, but you're joining the whole stadium together in this wave. It's a wave done with music. And that was just one of his ways of teaching us to learn to listen to each other, because you can't play your one note at the right time, the right note, if you're not listening. So you have to listen to the other players. But that was just one aspect. You know, there, in the mornings, we would get up at 6 or 7 in the morning, mm-hmm. and... we would do something that he called the practice of doing nothing, where we would go and he would lead a sort of meditation. It's meditation might not be quite the right word, but we would sit in silence, and there was an exercise where we would internally go through each part in our body and in our mind and relax, bring both attention and relaxation throughout the body. So. For him, relaxation and attention are a big part of being a great musician. So everything we did was directed at becoming a better musician, but at the same time, it was also a lot of life lessons to be learned.
Yeah, no. Well, actually, let's go ahead and since you're talking about circulation, Skyline, I think, is a good example of that. This is a clip of Skyline. And take a listen to this. This is from the Highlights CD, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Okay, here's Skyline. And this is that type of thing where you play one note, pass it on.
Thank you.
Just amazing. The counterpoint is just killer. The other thing, too, that we were talking a little bit before the show, too, is the tone. I mean, I most people, when they think of acoustic guitar, they'll obviously think of like a Martin sound or a Gibson sound. And your guitars don't sound like that, but they have like really rich overtones. And in that piece, you have one, you have a couple of the guitars are real sparkly, really just very cool sound, and then there's another one that's almost sounds like electric. It's really dark sounding, but they're all acoustic guitars, right?
That's right. And a lot of that has to do with the tuning that we're using. So we're using this the tuning that Robert Fripp introduced it to us on the Guitar Craft courses, and it was originally called, he called it the new standard tuning, because he hoped for it to be the standard amongst the Guitar Craft players, which it has become. And now I think it's more commonly referred to as the Guitar Craft tuning or Guitar Circle tuning. And that tuning really expands the range of the guitar. So I've got my guitar here, and I can give a little bit of a demonstration.
Okay.
So the open strings on a normal guitar, you have E, A, D, G, B, and E. And then on this guitar, the low strings are tuned lower, and the high strings are tuned higher.
Okay.
So the low E is tuned all the way down to a C, and then G, D, A, E, and G. So the lower notes are tuned down, and the top strings are tuned higher, so it expands the range a lot.
So basically, the first five strings are in fifths.
Exactly.
And the last string's a third.
Right. Very good. Okay. You know your theory.
Yeah. I better. No. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. So it really opens up the... we had on the show a couple of months ago, Kimo West, who did slack key tuning, and they use a lot of lower tunings, and that gets that rich. Because some of the, even in that piece that we just played, Skyline, it sounds like a bass comes in, but that's actually the guitar.
That's just the guitar in this tuning. You can get much lower bass notes using this tuning, and then those high shimmery notes are also made possible from this tuning, too.
Now, is there any difficulty chording with that system? I mean, and especially coming from a traditional guitar training, is it difficult to make chords you with that tuning, or is it pretty simple?
Well, changing over to this tuning, it's really kind of like starting over again. And, you know, if you've experimented with different tunings on the guitar, you know that all the chords change, all the scales change. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it's really like you're starting over from scratch again. But I liked that about it. You know, when I went on my first course, I had already been playing for a few years, and I felt I had developed to a certain point. But then tuning my guitar in this way forced me to do things in a different way than I had done before. And I really enjoyed that about it. So now I've been playing in this tuning for a while now, and have gotten to know it quite a bit, and still really like it.
Now, are all three of you always using the tuning, or do you do use conventional tuning?
For the most part, we're using this tuning. Occasionally, Bert Lahms is a fantastic classical guitarist, and occasionally he'll bring his nylon string guitar, and there's a few pieces that we have where he plays nylon string guitar in the standard tuning. Yeah, but most all our recordings are using this tuning with the expanded range.
Well, in Skyline, where you have those strumming, those chords, that's that's that tuning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So the Skyline is...
Thank you.
So, okay. Yeah.
No, it's kind of it's nice. It has that you're letting a lot of you have a lot of open strings too. So yeah. You're getting kind of like a drone thing that's happening. The other thing too is the guitar. I mean, this guitar sounds amazing. This is a Breedlove. Now, you use mainly Breedlove?
Yes, I have two different Breedlove guitars now, and I've been using them for, I'd say, at least 8 years now. But I also have other guitars, and we're always experimenting with different guitars. I have a custom guitar at home made by a guitar builder named Irvin Somogyi, who's become known as one of the greatest acoustic guitar builders in the world. And occasionally I'll bring that one out. But these Breedlove guitars are great road guitars. They're very solid, and when I check it in, if I have to check it when we're on tour with the airlines, I don't have to worry too much about it. If it gets damaged or something, I can have it repaired.
Now, does this guitar have a pickup in it?
It does. It has a pickup on it, and when we're playing live, we use a combination of the pickup and a microphone. Yeah, and here today, I'm using just the microphone, so you get to hear the real sound of the guitar.
Yeah, we're just miking it here, and it's just sparkly. Go ahead and just play a couple of... It's just the overtones on this thing is amazing. Now, that's spruce, and that's rosewood?
Yes.
That's a rosewood one. And your other Breedlove, same thing? Rosewood, spruce?
No, I have a walnut guitar.
Walnut. Now, what's really interesting is that you're doing... It's the variety of sound. On that last piece, too, there was that real dark guitar. Who was playing that?
I think that was Hideo playing that really deep bass sounding.
Almost like a jazz sound. But what was he using, or what does he use?
He's got a Breedlove guitar, and the way he plays and using this tuning, it has a real deep sound to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you guys also do a lot of techniques like muting, do you hammer on some of the stuff, or do you, because you're,
sure,
you, when
yeah.
you're doing that circulation thing where you're trading off notes, it's very percussive.
Yes, yeah. So the circulation can be done in many different ways, and I think that, do you have that another track, the improv track?
Yeah, let me...
Up? So this, I'll just really quickly explain. On this particular one, we were doing the circulation technique with the three of us, and then we were layering. We would record one take with the circulation, then listen back to that one and mm-hmm. play another circulation over top of that, then listen to those two, play those two back, and then record another take on top of it. So you're hearing multiple layers of circulation on this.
Okay, so here is Improv 8. So killer. Now, that last part, it sounds almost like a a cimbello or your hammer dulcimer. Is that tapping?
That particular piece, we started out with muting it, so you can hear the more percussive sound with the muting it. So it's more like,
yeah,
like that kind of a tone. And then as the piece progressed, then we did more of an open sound using open strings and you know, more of the open sound. And
then
when
he
laid
it way up there. I mean, to get it to ring that much.
These guitars that go really high. Yeah, that's the notes are like I said when you.
But you're doing like
higher.
Little like finger picking type of things up on the top.
Well, that's the circulation done at a faster tempo, at double time.
Oh, so each of you are just holding a note,
and holding it, and letting it ring over.
That's why it sounds like one guy's is like doing this amazing thing way up there, but it's ring. So that's how you get it to
It's three
ring.
Players letting their notes ring out over one another.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
If you saw us do it, you would be able to understand a little bit better. If you come and see us at McCabe's, mm-hmm. we'll do a little bit of circulation and you'll grasp the idea.
Well, since you mentioned McCabe's, we should mention when it is.
Yes, we're playing California Guitar Trio at McCabe's on July 24th. I think there's still a few tickets left. We usually fill up the place. So
just one show or two shows?
Just one show. And it's the start of a West Coast tour.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Okay, I'm going to play another clip that kind of I edited. It's a lot of these pieces are like 4 or 5 minutes long. So excuse me as I try to condense it to cover so much.
Sure.
But this one I edited three main sections of it. This is, if I can pronounce it right, Chacarera.
Chacarera.
My rolling R's are not rolling too well today.
Chacarera is an Argentinian folk rhythm. And we were in Argentina and we're influenced by the Argentinian music and we're inspired to write this piece based on the Argentinian rhythm.
Okay, let me go ahead and play this. It's very cool. Let's see, I'm sure you'll catch the edits, but it's a very interesting little compilation here. Before I said, is that a guitar that's doing that marimba part? But it is actually.
That is a marimba. That's a friend of ours from Austin, Texas that we met there. And he came and sat in with us at a show we did in Austin. And we invited him to play on this album. So that is marimba.
Wow. If I can get that sound out of a guitar, I got to find out how to do that.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's great. And that's an abbreviation of how the piece develops, but you can hear the main movement changes. But it's just really interesting how you just go back. The colors that you're doing in the arrangements is just incredible. Mm-hmm. And these guitars, and it's hard. I want everybody to realize that they're using the same basic guitars and they're getting those different sounds in this, pretty much in the same take, so to speak, because they're, and when they play that live, you can really hear this, but they really, change their tone of their guitar in the middle of songs and stuff. It's just really incredible that you you do that. Now, you use a VG system. Do you have a special pickup on your guitars, or is it coming out of the regular pickup that's...
When I was using the VG system as my main setup, I had a special pickup from RMC on the guitar. And now I've changed my setup a little bit, and this current... We're working on a new album, and we're doing more experimenting with just the natural sounds of the guitar and less guitar effects and effects pedal boards, and I won't be using the VG system on the new album. So we're doing, trying to see what we can do without using any processing and just the natural tones of the guitar. But that piece you just played is a good example of, because there was no effects on that particular piece. Yeah. That was a good example of what we can do without using any processing.
Well, even improv. I mean,
yes.
It's just amazing. That's all acoustic guitar. I mean,
right.
The type of song, the only, it reminds me a lot of some of the, not, they do prepared guitar, but like the LA Guitar Quartet.
Right.
We had them on, and they were putting little things on the strings and stuff to get all these weird sounds.
That's right. Well, with acoustic guitar, there's so many different things you can do to change the tone, and it's really fun to explore that. We've been doing some concerts together with the Montreal Guitar Trio, and those guys are experts at that, like the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet guys. So we're on this next album, I think we're going more in that direction.
Okay, now that's interesting. The other thing is, let me ask you this. Have you tried this tuning, the Guitarcraft circle tuning? Have you tried it on electric guitar, and have you tried it on a 12-string, and how did that work?
Yes, I've tried it on an electric guitar. In fact, Robert is using that tuning when he's playing with King Crimson now on electric guitar. So Jacko is the second guitarist in the current lineup, and Adrian Ballou on the other lineup. They both use standard guitar, but guitar tuning. But Robert's been using the Guitarcraft tuning for quite a long time now as his his main tuning. And I haven't tried it with 12-string guitar, but I have a friend in New York named Tony Jabal that has been experimenting for quite a while now using this tuning on 12-string guitar. And we did a tour with him where he was opening up for us, and it's just a beautiful sound. He's almost more of like a Ralph Towner style player, and he used this tuning in a really wonderful way. He's got a beautiful album out with just solo 12-string guitar in this tuning called Native of the Rain.
Because, yeah. I mean, with the way you guys, especially with the circulation, where you let things ring out with the octave strings, it has to be incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it would even get even... Because you're playing way up on top and letting it ring out.
Yes.
And it's getting this beautiful timbre, but even that, it would be an octave higher than that.
Right, that's right.
So it would be... It would be pretty interesting. Let's go through a little bit what you're using. You said that you guys do use a pedal board. What are you using now?
Right now I have some different pedals that from both Digitech and Line 6 are the two main pedal boards I'm using now. The Digitech is an RP 360. And that one, it's just a small pedal board, but it has everything I need in a small...
So it's a multi-effects.
It's a multi-effects unit. And then I use a Line 6 DL4 for any looping that I do. And that also is the DL4 does some delay and some other effects as well. So those are the main things.
Now, are you using any special preamp or compression on your guitar live?
No, we just go into our pedal boards and then straight into the house system. Then we use some German microphones, Beyer Dynamic microphones, to capture some of the natural acoustic sound.
Okay, so you're basically standing, like right now, you have a microphone in front of you when
yes,
you play.
Right, that's
have
right.
Have you guys tried putting internal microphones in there?
This guitar actually has an internal microphone. And there are some advantages to that, but the disadvantage is that's not the normal place where you listen to the guitar. So an internal mic has a much different tone than an external mic. And so when I'm using the pickup, I may blend a little bit of that internal mic in, But for me, it sounds a little bit weird when it's only the internal acoustic mic, because you know you don't stick your head inside there and listen. So the external microphone gives a much more natural tone to it.
But I mean, it's not a problem. You're not finding a problem with, because a lot of acoustic guitar players, you know, the reason they use the internal is because the external microphone, it's the feedback.
And yeah, yeah.
Do you find that a problem, or have you been able to?
Well, you know, it's always a challenge amplifying acoustic guitar. So we've been playing together now with the California Guitar Trio for almost 25 years. So we have 25 years of experience of figuring out how to amplify acoustic guitars, and we're still working on it and still trying different pickups and different microphones, because the best way to hear acoustic guitar is like you and me sitting here right now. You're hearing the real acoustic sound. The people on the radio are hearing the mic sound, which is also a great way to do it. And that's a very natural sound that we have through this mic. But when you get in a large concert hall, it's a real challenge to try to get a good natural acoustic guitar sound. So,
well, I assume that live, because you guys are not using any amps, the on-stage sound is, you're not using any monitors, or are you monitoring, are you pumping audio into here on the stage, like the wedges or something, or are you just basically playing acoustically?
Well, we've done a variety of different things. For quite a long time, we were using in-ear monitors, so that helped with the feedback problem. Lately, we've been using wedges, but turning them way down, and you don't put any of the microphone through the wedges. Only the pickup goes into the wedges, and then the microphone just goes to the house speakers for out front to, like I said, blend in some of the natural.
So you don't have a sound. It's not a real problem to hear yourself.
No, no. Okay. And, you know, we don't play at a really loud volume. And in a big venue, you know, we have to figure out how to crank it up louder. But most of the venues we play are from, you know, like everything, where from McCabe's, you know, that seats 150 people, up to, you know, we recently played down in Cerritos at the Performing Arts Center, which is probably, maybe 1,200 seats. So sometimes we do bigger shows. We've done some really big shows. When we played with Tony Levin and Pat Mascolato, we did this outdoor festival for 60,000 people.
Wow.
And that show, we had John Anderson and Rick Wakeman sat in with us, and we did the Heart of the Sunrise.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, the reason I was asking that, I'm going to play a clip from the Live in Austin album. This sounds loud. Remember, they're doing all of this stuff. They're processing this all through the board.
Yeah.
It's not amps, though. It sounds like you're just cranking. This is Train to Lamy?
Train to Lamy. Lamy's the name of a town near Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay, check this out. It's really good. Now, is that you on slide?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And that's the Digitech RP360,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you're using that tuning, right?
Yes.
To do the slide.
Right.
Is that was that a problem doing those like chords? Or
well, I had to learn it all over again. You know, when I started playing in this tuning, it was like relearning all the scales. And so when I started playing slide in this tuning, it was the same thing, you know, relearning it again, and then eventually becoming more and more comfortable with it. But I've always enjoyed, you know, really great slide playing. I saw David Lindley at McCabe's just a couple months ago. I'm a big fan of his, and so many great slide players that have been inspirational. But that particular one is just my. That was a different breed love guitar that has an LR Bags Anthem pickup running through the Digitech, just to add a little distortion and compression and.
A little, is there? That thing cranks.
That's a lot of distortion.
Is he using electric on there? I mean, that was... But I'm amazed that you were able to get the chords okay. Because that, to me, well, you're using fifths, so you get away with a lot of it with the fifths.
Right.
But it was interesting because it almost sounds... I guess maybe it's the way you're playing it, it implies the third in there or something because I'm hearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of hearing it in the sound.
Right, right.
Now, I'm going to quickly play another piece that just kind of shows, again, they're using this tuning, but this is a very hip, funky thing. This is Yamanashi Blues, and I wanted to play this because it's a wholly different thing that they're doing, and there's a lot of bending and a lot of blues kind of feel to it. So let me play that real quick and take a listen. I'm trying to figure out how you're doing that in my head. I mean, I can understand it is different than the normal tuning, so you're going in a different direction. But it's like, how do you do all of those licks and stuff that I guess you... Well, you've been playing enough on this new tuning, so it's second nature to you, but it just blows me away.
Well, that's an interesting cut to play because that's from our very first album that we recorded here in Los Angeles at Bert's house. He lived near the Paramount Picture Studios in the Hollywood area, and we set up the recording studio in his living room, and that was using the Ovation guitars. When we were playing with Robert Fripp, Robert Fripp recommended these Ovation super shallow body guitars. So all three of us had those as our main guitars when we first started playing. So that sound that you hear on that cut is quite different, right, from the other tracks that you've been playing because that's the Ovation guitar with no microphone, just the pickup on the guitar.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a good idea to hear what we sounded like when we first started playing. And then some of these other tracks give you an idea of the
with the Ovation, it's definitely an edgier sound.
Yes,
but it doesn't have the sparkle like the Breed. I mean, the Breedlove has the overtones,
right?
But
right.
It works for the song because it's kind of a rocky,
rock type. So if I play the same that. So it's blues in five there, and you can hear...
It sounds really killer on that guitar.
Yeah, so you can hear a big difference from just the natural acoustic sound from here to what it sounded like on the Ovation guitars with that particular pickup that the Ovation guitars
and
have.
And that was from the... That's one of the... It was an earlier recording, but it's on your highlight CD, and it's...
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I wanted to play that is it's totally different than some of the other stuff that they were doing. I mean, they do a lot of different things. And they've done other clips where they do other songs. They do covers of other people. I don't have time tonight to play all of the different clips, but they do some of the surf stuff that's just great, and it works really well with their guitars because it gets that kind of clean twangy sound, and they get a really really cool twangy sound. You got to check it out. It's very very good. I want to play another clip that's more of the It's more similar to Andromeda. This is Cathedral Peak, and another one where you're using, I think you're using the VG system in this one too.
Yeah.
Again, it's all guitar stuff, and it's with this amazing tuning. So here's a
clip. And we have Eric and Julie Slick from
The
Adrian Ballou Power Trio play on this one.
So there's drums and bass, the real drums and bass on this. Here you go. This is Cathedral Peak. Again, that's all acoustic guitar. I know you're using the VG system for the string things. But the tone on those guitars, are those the Breedlove's? Were you guys using the Breedlove's on that?
Let's see.
Because it had that theme, da-da-da-da, the first time you hear that.
Yeah.
It's a nice, rich, like a deeper type of sound. And it wasn't the deep, like jazzy sound that you had on the other one. It was a different sound, but it had its own overtones, but it was a really rich sound.
I think that's the Breedlove, again, combined with the VG system on this particular recording. And, you know, all three of us were electric guitar players before we started playing with the California Guitar Trio. And so I think we've always been bringing that side of our influence into the California Guitar Trio. Blending the acoustic with the electronics. And it hasn't been until more recently that we're doing a little bit less of the electronics. But throughout our career, we've always, you know, if you come see us at McCabe's, you'll hear some of that, the blending of the electronics with the acoustic element.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you guys are definitely rockers. You can tell it still comes out. It'll always come out. But that's a good thing. But again, from what the clips that I played, they're all the styles. There's so many different styles, but it's interesting and it still kind of fits the whole overall concept. And I'm playing from different albums,
right?
Two or three different albums at least, and it's like you guys go everywhere, and it's very cool, you know. Like people a lot of groups tend to just be one thing, but
right.
You're actually exploring a lot of different things. You're a little prog here, you're a little blues here, a little straight rock with the slide and stuff. But then you do all these cool things like the circulation. It's almost like synth type of stuff.
Well, I remember when we first formed the California Guitar Trio and we played for Robert Fripp.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that he was really encouraging us a lot from the very beginning, and I remember him saying that now that you're going to be going out and doing shows together, you need to find a way to make a 90-minute or 2-hour show interesting. So how do you keep the a 90-minute show of only guitars interesting? So I think we've taken that to heart and really found ways to create different tones and textures to keep things interesting for us and also for the audience.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it definitely, it's just mind-blowing. I can't stress that, you know, if you get a chance to see the trio play, it'll give you a lot of ideas. I mean, all these different tones. I'm going to have to go pull out my acoustic guitars and try to figure out, make it different. But Fripp was like that, too. He was like, always do something different.
We're definitely inspired by him, yeah, for sure.
Now, besides their website, www.cgtrio.com, and McCabe's on the 24th.
Yep.
Can you give us a brief rundown of some upcoming dates?
Yeah. So the very first date on this tour will be actually in Bakersfield. We're cool. Playing. Bakersfield has an interesting music scene, and they have a guitar series that they're doing at the Performing Arts Center, and that's on the 23rd. 24th is July 24th here at McCabe's, and then we start heading north. We're playing up in San Jose and San Francisco area after that. And then we head up to Eugene, Oregon, and play a couple shows in Oregon, and then up to Washington State, and two shows up in Washington State. And you can find all of the tour details on our page. And then we head to Canada after that.
Well, if you're, Bakersfield was Buck Owens.
Right.
So you have to do a Buck Owens
tour. We got to do the Buck Owens tour. Is it the Crystal Palace? Is that the name of his place?
Yeah, but I mean, you have to, when you play in Bakersfield, you have to do a Buck Owens, some type of a country tour.
Which one should we do?
I'm trying to think of what his biggest hit.
You know, I remember as a kid seeing him play on Hee Haw. Just being enthralled by by how great he was. I would do that.
You have to let me know when you do a country song. You do a country song for him, I have to know how that worked out with the new tune.
Okay. All right. So, well, we've dabbled in that before. We used to end our shows off with a little Happy Trails. So we've dabbled in there a little bit, but it would be fun to do a complete Buck Owens tune.
When are you planning on recording? Are you in process of recording the new album?
We are just getting ready to. We're writing new material, and hopefully before the end of the year we'll start recording. I've actually been out scouting the recording studios here in the LA area. I just moved back here about a year and a half ago, and just getting, really enjoying living here and getting my, grounded here in Los Angeles, and I've been looking at different studios, so we'll probably be recording the new album here sometime before the end of the year.
Oh, okay. So it'll be out next year.
Yes.
Okay.
For our 25th anniversary.
25th. Wow.
Yes.
You guys, that's amazing. Congratulations. We're already out of time. I'd love to have you guys come back when to debut the new album, and hopefully you guys are all in town.
We'll get the other guys to come in
and talk about the whole thing. Yeah, I think it would be great. Everybody check them out. McCabe's, Bakersfield.
Yeah.
You might hear a Buck Owens tune there. You never know. I just want to thank you. It's just a real pleasure and honor to have you on the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
This stuff is just mind-blowing. I'm going to leave everybody with another clip that's totally different, a very mellow, sweet clip. It's called Marsh. And this was from the Highlights album, too. And it's just a pretty little – it's the last part of the song, but it's just like a nice little ending to the whole thing. Everybody have a great week, and thanks for listening. And again, www.cgtrio.com. Check this out. And also, too, check out these Breedlove guitars. These are just killer-sounding guitars. And one real quick question.
Yes.
What kind of strings are you guys using?
The D'Addario.
D'Addario. Yeah. Okay, D'Addario strings. Well, they sound great. I'm blown away.
I love D'Addario.
Okay, well, listen, everybody, have a great night, and this is Marsh.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.